Hi, welcome to Rein It In. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Matt. This is a podcast that's normally about travel, but in the times of COVID, we need to get a little bit more creative.
That we do. So today...
You don't even know what we're talking about, do you?
No, I don't.
Well, I think we're going to talk about... We're going to talk about camping.
Yeah.
And some things you can do that let you get out of the house or maybe just do things a little bit different.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll have some background noise today because we are currently in the woods. So hopefully you'll get some nice sounds of nature and some less nice sounds of other people breaking down their campsites.
So as Rachel indicated, we are in the northeastern Georgia hills. I don't really want to call this portion mountains.
No, it's technically the Piedmont Plateau, I think.
Oh, right. That's right. So. And it is 83 degrees out. It's about 11:30
yeah.
in the almost afternoon. We are sitting in front of a fire and drinking hot coffee.
Yeah, we're a little warm. We have some like leftover Colorado-ness to us. Also, the coolest
thing
just
happened.
A bird came by and snatched a bug like right out of midair. Anyway.
I heard the wings flap. I saw it like out of the corner of my eye.
There was a bug flying and then the bird came through.
Wow.
Ate that bug. It's a yellow bird. Anyway, hi. These are the types of exciting things you get when we record outdoors.
Yeah, no doubt. but yeah, so right, as I mentioned, normally a podcast about travel. We've actually recently been going back and listening to, we're 1 year since our big trip to Japan, where we made like maybe 8 episodes or something like that.
Yeah, we had a lot to say.
Yeah, and we're trying to, well, we were doing it on a near, like every couple day basis.
Yeah.
And so we've gone back just kind of like, think about the pre-COVID world.
Yeah.
And, but also just listen to the fun things we did. And as I'm talking here, thing that keeps coming up to me is I keep talking too much.
Right. Well, I mean, that's okay. So today we want to talk about camping. We owe you another podcast about games. So we're definitely planning on going back and doing the iPad games and cooperative games episode that we talked about last time. So keep an eye out for that. But because we are here in the mountains and thinking about camping, we thought we would do this one for this episode.
Well, I think camping solidly fits into the travel category.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah. So one of the things we've always done, we're celebrating our 16th anniversary this year, and we've been super fortunate enough to always take at least a couple day trip for every anniversary.
Yep.
And we got married over Memorial Day. This is more information we need. You're going to steal our identities or something like that.
Yep.
My social security number is 877. But we've always had a chance to take a trip. And when, you know, this coronavirus COVID-19 situation hit, we thought, well, crap, what are we going to do for our anniversary? Is this going to be the first year that we can't travel?
Yeah, it started just kind of randomly. Like, I found like a travel deal somewhere, like Yahoo Travel or something ages ago, for like tickets and hotel in San Francisco. And so we went for our first anniversary, and then we just sort of decided after that we would do something every year. They're not always, like last year was Japan, right? But that's because it was 15 years and I had turned 40, so it was a big trip. But they're not always big trips, right? Sometimes we go an
hour
away.
Yeah, we just get like a Airbnb or a B&B, just like a city next door or a town next
yeah.
door or something like that.
Which is almost a staycation, but not quite.
So
this year, what seemed safest and wisest was to do something like camping. So that's what we did.
Yeah, it was actually sort of a challenge to find a campsite in Georgia in kind of the general area-ish that we wanted. This wasn't even on our radar.
Mm-mm.
It was like the 10th site I checked.
And we are in a place called Victoria Bryant State Park, which is... hour and a half to 2.5 hours northeast of Atlanta, depending on traffic. And it's a small park. It's not huge.
Taken up mostly by a golf course, it
seems.
There's
a giant golf course. There's some trails. I think there's like a pool and stuff normally, but that's closed right now.
Yeah, but I would say if you hadn't have told me or if I didn't look at the map, I wouldn't really know this was a golf course campground park.
No.
Because like this portion where we are, we'll post some stuff to the Instagram. Mm-hmm. We've got a platform campsite.
Uh-huh. Which I'd never heard of before.
No, and it's a slight walk-in. We've got what, maybe like 200 feet? No, actually probably like a little longer.
Yeah.
Maybe 100 yards or something like that. So not too far that you can't lug a cooler and a few things. We took a few trips. Mm-hmm. But what's kind of nice is we're like on the end spur of a string of campsites, and like we're surrounded absolutely on three sides by forest. Mm-hmm. And it goes into like a little valley, so there's like nobody really here. You can see three or four other campsites from us, but it's sort of mostly through the trees. Mm-hmm. So it's still pretty private. And in the COVID world, it also lets us separate a little bit.
Yeah, the campsites are not that close together. And the platform campsite is cool. So basically what we have is it's built out over a hill. So, you know, kind of cantilevers. It's not a cantilever. It's just...
No. But it's up on stilts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's...
Oh, yeah, stilts. That's a good way to put it.
There's no ground under it, but there's like barely a threshold from the dirt level where the picnic table is. There's a fire pit. We have our own individual water spigot, mm-hmm. which is nice. Again, we can wash our hands and stuff without having to get around other people.
Right.
There's a communal bathroom, mm-hmm. but there's actually some like family / unisex individual bathrooms, so you can kind of separate a little bit there as well.
But yeah, the platform is flat, which is great. So you can set up your tent. You don't have to worry about trying to find the flattest place. So
right.
I'm wondering if you're going to like slide down the hill at night. And
best
it also
fall.
Has a roof over it. So it rained the first night we were here, but that didn't matter because we were protected by the, by the roof. So that was great.
The only drawback is you don't need a rain fly. But without the rain fly, our tent is pretty much all mesh.
So you can really see through it.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, if you're not changing clothes and stuff in there, I guess it doesn't really matter. But
true, but you kind of want a little bit of privacy. So we've got a rain fly mullet going on.
Yeah.
We attached just a half and folded it back. So we've just got a rain fly like on one side.
Yeah, privacy on the back.
But that does impede the airflow.
Mm-hmm.
So we should add, right, for a decade of us knowing each other, we camped in Colorado.
Right. And we camped regularly, I would say, multiple times a summer, usually.
Oh, yeah. Easy.
That has not been so regular since we left Colorado. But
second time in 8 years.
Second time in 8 years. And we didn't camp at all in Ohio.
No. Both having grown up camping in Colorado with my dad and then us camped a lot, one of the things that you take for granted when you camp in the Mountain West is that even though it might be 100 degrees in the daytime, it's going to get down to 50 degrees or colder at mm-hmm. night. And in Georgia, it just doesn't really... It got cool by the morning, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not the case.
We were wearing shorts till we went to bed at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yesterday was pretty warm. I mean, it wasn't terrible, but I probably wouldn't camp too much past late May.
Right.
And I wouldn't again until like September, October. So, and actually the nice thing about these platform things too is like a lot of the time what I say about camping in Georgia is either it's either too hot or in the fall and spring it's raining. So mm-hmm. it wouldn't matter as much.
Like I said, this was not even like, I had no idea this park existed.
Mm-mm.
It wasn't on our, this isn't the area we normally go to.
We normally go sort of straight north of Atlanta.
Yeah. Northwest Georgia, to the mountains there. But this is a really enjoyable campsite. We already tried to convince a couple of our friends to book it in late September
mm-hmm.
and just take over this whole section of four campsites. That'd mm-hmm. be so much fun.
It would be. So hopefully, COVID willing, we'll see.
I know. Right. So we'll jump back to that, right? We're obviously not traveling, and plenty of people aren't feeling comfortable.
We're not flying. Or
or staying other places.
Or staying in hotels or Airbnbs, right?
Yeah. And even this, I could see pushing people's comfort zones. I mean, besides just not being comfortable camping.
Right.
But I did want to throw in a little bit here. So I work in IT, tech industry, and like a lot of us are still trying to like find some time to take off, kind of mentally break from things. But, you know, until recently, and Georgia's and a lot of places are opening up, but we're not really comfortable doing that. We still are not even remotely going to be going out to a restaurant or getting a haircut or anything like that until we absolutely have to down the road sometime. Yeah. But this seemed like a pretty good way to do it. And, you know, I have read some things or heard some people just talk about like doing staycations and trying to find other ways. So I would say, you know, if you've been stuck at home for months, like all of us have, right? Yeah. Like try to figure out good ways that you can still get some of those mental breaks if you haven't. Shoot us your ideas, post it on Facebook or on Instagram, rainitin_podcast on Instagram, rainitinpodcast, no underscore at Facebook. We'd love to hear the fun things you guys are doing.
Yeah. Cause I know people are doing all kinds of creative things.
So should we take a quick, bleep bloop break and come back with some of our favorite camping experiences that we've done? Maybe some tricks we've learned.
Yeah, that sounds good. One of the things that we wanted to talk about is just both of our sort of backgrounds. You know, we said we camped a lot together in Colorado, but both of us grew up spending a lot of time outdoors and camping as well. Mm-hmm. Being from Colorado and Wyoming. I'm actually in a Wyoming t-shirt today. Wyoming pride.
Yeah.
It was my dad's. Sorry, lost my train of thought.
It's the Wyoming Infrared Observatory, University of Wyoming t-shirt, if anyone's curious.
Yeah.
What's the guy on the horse's name?
The horse's name is Steamboat, right? I don't remember what the guy's name is.
Neither did I.
Anyway, we'll post a picture of the Wyoming, horse and rider, just so you know what the hell we're talking about. However, growing up in Colorado and Wyoming, everything that everybody asks you when they hear you're from there is about skiing.
Yeah.
And I never liked skiing. I don't like being cold. The time when I tried to learn how to ski when I was like 4-ish, I got so cold I never wanted to do it again. And so I didn't. That's just my level of stubbornness.
Rachel will make her mind up about a thing.
It was really cold.
Yeah, you're willing to try things again.
I cross-country ski. I just have never like gone back to downhill skiing. But I'm not a skier, right? So I would always say, no, you know, we don't ski, but we camp a lot.
Yeah.
We do summer outdoor things. So
heck, a lot cheaper than lift
skiing.
Tickets. Although you got to buy all this camping crap, but
you got to buy all the ski crap too, right?
I mean, or rent it.
So anyway, I grew up camping a lot in Wyoming, in Vida Vu, which is in between Cheyenne and Laramie, and in the Snowy Range, which is the opposite direction. So it's further west in kind of southern Wyoming.
Which are also places that when we used to camp in Colorado when we were sort of first together in early marriage. And Rachel said we would go pretty often, but it was nice because we would pack up the car on Thursday night, we'd go to work, get off work, jump in the car, cannonball run like 2 hours, 2.5 hours to a campsite set up right before it got too dark, and then have our camping weekend. It was, and those are the places we'd go, right? We'd go to the Snowy Range, we'd go to Vida Vu,
yeah.
Once or twice, only a couple times.
Yeah,
it's windy as shit out there.
Yeah, you know, Wyoming. Yeah. Vida Vu is very windy. Snowy Range isn't.
No. As Snowy Range is awesome.
Snowy was a little bit further of a drive, though. So, anyway, I grew up as a campfire girl, so I spent a week of my summers every year camping with a bunch of other girls/boys. Campfire is a unisex organization, although, you know, mostly girls join.
Is it just called Campfire, or is it Campfire Girls?
No, just Campfire.
Okay, and because you were a girl?
I was a Campfire girl, yes.
Got it.
Yeah. But no, it's a unisex organization run by the United Way. For some random facts. So I camped in Wyoming every year, and I have really good memories of that. And that actually is what sort of took us to the Snowy Range when we would go, when we would go pretty regularly, because I have like such good memories of that.
Yeah, and I started. My folks are divorced when I was pretty young, and my brother and I would come out and spend the summers with my dad in Colorado. I grew up in upstate New York, and with my mom and brother. And the during that summer that we'd spend with at my dad's, he would always take off like a week in a row, and we would go on some sort of epic camping trip. And so normally we'd do like some sort of big loop through Colorado, or Colorado and a bit of Wyoming. And one time we went all the way up to Yellowstone. Mm-hmm. That was must have been longer than just a week. But
yeah, because that's a good probably 10-hour drive from Denver.
And I remember being my dad had a little Nissan pickup truck with a camper top, and my options were to sit on the bench seat because it was like a small Nissan pickup. Sit on the bench seat between my brother and dad with the stick shift like wedged up against me, or we would clear me out of space in the back, which is so illegal, of course. But I preferred that. I'd just like stretch out. We'd make a little tunnel basically and all the crap in the back, and I would have my pillow or a sleeping bag, and I'd read comic books, and so it was fine, except for sometimes we'd be driving down dirt roads and stuff, and then it was just
very uncomfortable,
dusty as hell.
More of the problem.
So but those are a blast. We just did a lot, and you just live out there. We usually do like one day in a hotel halfway through to like regroup, eat at a restaurant, take showers, but the rest is all just camping and fishing. My brother and dad love fishing, and I would read my comic books.
So when we started dating, we did a bunch of camping. I mean, it's like, yeah, it's an investment to buy the gear, but then once you do it, it is a cheaper way to travel and to spend weekends away. Once you've got the like sort of initial investment made.
Right.
And you don't have to spend a ton of money.
Right. We did a period of time, a few years, where we actually did, like zero impact backpacking. And we'd hike in miles and set up a tent. And we'll talk about that here in a minute probably, but those are some amazing, amazing like opportunities when you just literally get away from anybody else.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild. But over the last bunch of years, we've just reverted to car camping. It's so much easier. And it's a lot less expensive because you can get a reasonably good tent for...
That's true. I mean, all of the backpacking equipment tends to be more expensive because it has to be so light.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more specialized. And we still own that stuff. But, like, we don't bring our backpacking tent when we go car camping because it's tiny, right? Because it has to be lightweight. So we have a bigger tent. We can put an air mattress in it. You know, we're definitely... the lightest camping packers because we don't have to be.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. When you were a kid, do you have a particularly fond memory that jumps out we can talk about like fond memories from each of these stages, right? We had young camping. Mm-hmm. We had when we used to do the like backpackery, like Colorado hippie camping. Mm-hmm. And then the modern age of
the
Rachel and Matt camping experience, which is car camping. So maybe we can talk about a few highlights from each of those.
Yeah. Why don't you start with the kid one? I'm going to have to think about it for a second.
Okay. Dang. So
put it back on you.
I know. See, this is how I normally do it. Like people say I'm good at running meetings at work, and it's because I know the questions I would want to know answers to, but I don't know the answers to those questions, so I can ask questions to make other people do it, and it makes it look like I'm engaged, but really I'm just driving the conversation and avoiding having to answer myself.
Yeah.
So, but aside from that, I would say, like, some of the general sense that I had, we went a few times over Keebler Pass, which is outside of Crested Butte, to a place called Lost Lake, that at the time was pretty nice, because not a lot of people made it out there. The road... It was not a paved road to get out there. And so you saw some people. But for a little while, my dad had like a little like inflatable raft, fishing raft kind of thing. And when I say they fished, we were like fly fishing, river fishing kind of things. But we did go out to this place, Lost Lake, because it was part of the good circle, the good loop, and it was far enough away from people, but still easy to get to. And so we would camp out there. And a couple of times we camped, I don't know if this was illegal or if you could just do it back then, but we would just find a spot off the road and put up a tent. I mean, it wasn't like right off the road. You'd have to like find some places, mm-hmm. and the little pickup truck could get us like off the road a little bit. And I remember a couple times just like setting up a tent like in a small little clearing.
I think in state forest you're allowed to do that, yeah. right? I mean, because it is sort of everybody's land.
Yeah, and you're supposed to be a certain amount away from water and things like that, and I think we would do that. But that was pretty fun to just kind of have these. We just like drive down this road and be like, oh, there, my dad would be like, I think we can make it to that one. And then we'd drive off and we'd look around, and sometimes you'd get back in the car and keep driving to find a better spot. But that was kind of fun, was just that, because there was nobody around. I don't remember camping that many places, now that I think about it, that had like bathrooms.
Mm. We almost always had bathrooms, although very rarely were they like flush.
Yeah.
I mean, generally it was like
just an
outhouse
pit.
Yeah.
Right. I do remember those a little more.
So, and this place that we're at this weekend has flushing toilets and running
showers.
Water and showers, which is, I think, important COVID times. You really want to be able to wash your hands and stuff well.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time, like I said, in the snowies in Wyoming. And so that's probably like my, like most kind of classic camping memories. Like the way that it smells and the way that the particular way that the wind sounds in the trees there, are like very sort of evocative childhood memories. And it does sound different there than anywhere else.
Yeah. Yeah. The birds here in Georgia in general are vociferous.
Yeah. They are pretty loud.
Yeah, hopefully you can hear a little bit. Probably won't be able to pick it up from the mics too much, but yeah, it's pretty. Actually, right now you can probably hear the background hum of someone pumping up a
air mattress
down the side here. But the air feels thicker here. It's partially the humidity and the heat, but then the sound travels different.
Yeah. But we also spent time camping with sort of family friends. So for a couple years we went to Lake McConaughey, which is in Nebraska, and did like lake camping. My friends had a boat. So, you know, we could kind of like mess around on the lake.
You know, I heard Matthew McConaughey was born in Lake McConaughey.
Oh, and that's how I got his name.
That's it. Yeah. Right. He came out like the creature of the Black Lagoon.
I can picture it.
With bongos.
With bongos. Born with bongos. That's a hashtag. We're going to put it on the Instagram post for this episode.
What about when we used to do backpacking ones? We only did it a handful of times.
Yeah, we didn't do it that much. I mean, it was quite, like, I was much more energetic because we would backpack and then we would come down and I would go to work on Sunday. So it's like, yeah, I woke up at, you know, 7 this morning and hiked down a mountain and now I'm at work.
Yeah.
I definitely do not have that much energy anymore.
No.
But I also don't, you know, have to work on Sundays for an hourly wage in order to pay my rent and that sort of thing. So
was it called Sylvan Meadow or something like that? What was the name of the meadow that we went to?
Oh, in outside of Pingree?
Yeah.
I am not sure.
Yeah, something meadow, but it wasn't that bad of a hike, right? It was like 4 or 5 miles, which when you're humping a bunch of stuff on your back is pretty significant. But
altitude
we went up there twice.
Gain wasn't huge,
right.
though, so you weren't going up really, really steep areas. But it's lovely. You get up there and it's like, well, I mean, it's like high mountain meadow. You've got a bunch of like willows and sort of meandering little streams.
Yeah.
I never saw moose up there, but like it's moose kind of territory. Beavers.
Yeah. But we went out there once with Kylan
mm-hmm.
and Alex too, and then once with just the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
But it was it was just beautiful. The one time we went up there, Rachel proposed to me up there.
I did.
And the, and it might have been that time, but there was one other group of people that were there. We never saw them.
Right.
I saw their campfire like hundreds of yards away, and you could kind of hear them a little bit. Mm-hmm. But not, you could hear there were people, but you couldn't hear them, if that makes any sense. And we never saw them. We were there for the weekend or for a few days. And
yeah.
That's really fun to just be not around anything at all. It's also, yeah, now that I'm older, a little bit, it creeps me out that like a bear is going to eat me or a forest monster.
A forest monster. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and, you know, we didn't have cell phones, so you were automatically right, sort of disconnected. It's not like,
yeah,
we had anything that we could have even taken with us, but yeah, certainly like there wouldn't be service, I imagine, mm-mm, up there. So,
yeah,
so you are a little bit more, disconnected, which is a nice feeling. I've been thinking about like, there's these like getaway places that are near some cities and they have like a cell phone lockbox. That's one of the amenities that they have. Mm-hmm. So I've been thinking about getting us one of those, sometime in the future.
It would break my Japanese streak if we did that.
I know. Yeah, that's the challenge. I need to keep my time hop streak going too.
modern problems. First world problems. So let's probably start working on wrapping up.
Yep.
What do we have for like tips that we would say for someone who's looking to pick up camping somewhat recently? There are so many little flies and gnats flying around us right now.
I know. I don't know why. So
no.
Sorry about the like me making foofing noises. That's
yeah,
me trying to blow away flies.
But what are some things that we do these days that we think are probably low barrier to entry, and can make camping pretty good? What are the things we like to do?
Well, honestly, like in Georgia, if you have an air mattress and like sheets and blankets, you don't even need sleeping bags.
Yeah.
So like you don't even need to invest a bunch of money in sleeping bags because it's warm enough that we just slept under a sheet and a light blanket.
And we have camping bag or like
backpacking sleeping bags,
but we also like a bunch of years when we were back in Colorado still, we bought some cheap Coleman on sale, like those big cottony plaid mm-hmm. ones that
zip
probably
together.
Everybody remembers from ever, that zip together. And so we actually just had those down as like extra bedding.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, I think a good tip,
yeah,
that you don't actually need to invest in fancy sleeping bags.
Yeah.
If you're camping somewhere that's warmer.
Right. This place actually has an electrical outlet that if we had an electric pump, it would have worked. We mm-hmm. just assumed there was not going to be electrical.
Right.
So you just make sure you have a battery pump mm-hmm. or a manual pump. And mm-hmm. then if you have a battery pump, make sure it works before you travel.
Right. And that you buy enough batteries.
Yeah.
I only bought 4 and we needed 6. So Matt fortunately caught that mistake.
The, other one, like we just have a Coleman inexpensive camp stove as well, mm-hmm. like a little 2-burner, gets everything done we need. We bring an old pan.
Mm-hmm.
We do have some camping, like backpacking cook gear, but you can just bring some of your own pots and pans if you're
yeah.
doing car camping.
Mm-hmm.
Bring minimal. But I'd say, you know, don't think you have to be limited by camp food when you're camping.
Yeah, that's true.
We didn't do anything real fancy. We just did some like sausage and peppers and onion
mm-hmm.
one day, and we did some like pre-steamed sweet potatoes mm-hmm. that we put on the fire, and some tempeh burgers.
Mm-hmm.
But you could probably get pretty fancy. Depends on how good your cooler is. Our cooler
mm-hmm.
is only okay, so anything that was going to spoil, we wanted to eat the first day. Don't give yourself food poisoning.
Right.
Keep things clean. But figure out your coffee situation.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one. We're just going to switch to instant coffee.
Yep.
We do like coffee, but we're not
snobby enough.
Yeah.
It never comes out great when you're camping anyway. And so I think instant is just as good
yeah.
as like, you know, we've tried a few different methods over the years. This time we brought our AeroPress with us, which is okay.
We dialed it in the second mm-hmm. day, I think, a little bit better.
Yeah.
The Other one I would say, and this is kind of like the planning thing, more and more we end up getting, well, in the days of COVID, we end up getting some things sent to us with ice packs.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've just been keeping those over the years. I think, like, do I really need another ice pack? And I just put it in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put like 10 ice packs in the freezer the week before we came, threw all those in our, like, pretty crappy, ultimately cooler. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like a Yeti or anything like that. Threw in some extra towels and stuff just to kind of keep it extra insulated. And it kept stuff pretty cold. I mean, here, 2.5 days in or whatever, things were only cool.
Right.
Butter was pretty soft. But that's going to get you some distance, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Bring some books.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We have a couple, like, battery banks. Charge those up. And so we've been on our phone a little bit to, like, play Harry Potter.
Right.
And
Wizards Unite.
A couple other things. But, I mean, I think we've survived just on plugging our phone into a couple battery banks for 2.5 days. We haven't plugged anything into an outlet. Get some firewood. Because you don't know if they're going to sell it.
Right.
When you get there.
And we actually bought some engineered logs, which light really easily.
Yeah, we use that as basically our kindling.
Yeah.
And we got some. We kind of spent a little bit too much money on some kiln dried wood because I honestly didn't want to just keep looking. And I did a search in Atlanta for Atlanta firewood.
And they delivered it no contact.
I know, right. Yeah. So. But I will say this, like, kiln-dried oak is great. We've only gone through, like, half this box. We start it with an engineered log. We add a couple other logs to it. We get 3, 4, 5 hours of fire.
Yeah.
I am sweating. I'm also in the sun right now.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I feel like this has been a good sort of COVID compromise for traveling. I would feel comfortable doing it again. I think we found a nice place because, you know, even though we're in a, like, campsite, it's not huge. So there's really not.
Yeah.
All the sites, I think, are full because it is Memorial Day weekend, but there aren't that many sites. So there really aren't that many people around just in general.
Yeah.
It's not like, I know some of the places will have, you know, hundreds of campsites potentially. And this place just isn't that big.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Look a little off the beaten track. And probably better, right, to look for the one that has a lot of space open and then choose a spot. It's like Reserve America. I want to look, but I don't want to mess up the recording here because we're recording.
I think it's Reserve America.
But there's an app that gives you all the state parks and stuff, and you can look it up. You can reserve your individual campsite, which was super handy. If you live anywhere but the American South, you probably have a better chance of having a longer camping season. And hopefully you can do this more.
That's kind of weird. I mean, depends on what
you're
looking for.
In the United States, I'm thinking, right?
Or just like, I mean, you know, some places it gets cold and you don't want to camp when it's freezing.
I meant for the summer.
Oh, for the summer.
For right now, right? Because this will be the last time we camp until
the fall.
September or something, right? So.
Because it's just too hot.
Yep. All right. Well, stay safe out there.
Yep.
Wash your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Any other last things?
No. We're coming back to you another couple weeks of being at home playing games, and we will get another games podcast out to you.
Yeah, we're covering competitive games.
No.
And we did competitive games. Cooperative games and
iPad games. Yep.
You can check us out at anchor.fm/reinitin. That's spelled R-E-I-N-I-T-I-N, all one word, no spaces. And you can leave us a message there. You can also follow us at Instagram @reinitin_podcast or email us at reinitin@ssdpress.org, also spelled R-E-I-N-I-T-I-N @ssdpress.org. Thanks again to all of our friends and family for all the support and for putting up with us. Have a great day.